What is going down, everybody? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype. Episode number 179. Man, we're getting close to 200. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We've got the Luka Doncic card. We've got Donruss basketball. We've got NBA Top Shot with the All-Star game. So lots of fun stuff. And PSA price increase. Everybody's mad. We're going to talk about that as well. C-Red, what's going down, dude?
What is up, everybody? What is up? How's everybody's week going?
It's going good so far. I mean, so many releases, it's hard to keep up. A lot of good releases coming out today and then the next few weeks. I mean, we're in the big swing of all this stuff coming out, and it's exciting times in this hobby.
Yep, and I guess it's particularly good news, too, that I guess Texas is, like, fully opening, so we should be getting our, you know, our products, like, you know, in a timely manner. Hopefully, you know, everything goes smoothly in terms of production and you know, getting it out there, so.
Definitely. So, yeah, I heard that news. I think March 10th or something, so good for you guys.
Yeah. Especially after going through that snowstorm and all that and power outage and all that stuff, man. It's tough out there.
Absolutely. Well, we also have some big news as well. 10-year anniversary for us. We've been breaking for 10 years, and starting March 15th, we're going to be doing a big promo. We're going to be giving away $10,000 worth of stuff to people that join our breaks. So just a little teaser, some more info to come on that. There'll be some fun giveaways to help us celebrate 10 years, our 10-year anniversary. Not many other breakers out there that have been doing it for 10 years. So, and we've been doing it because of you guys have been buying into our breaks, enjoying them, and keeping us going this long. So hopefully we got another, 40 years left in the tank. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. I will be breaking prison football until my hands catch arthritis.
Yeah, maybe at that time we'll just have, like, robot hands. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be, you know, or just my head will be on a robot body at that point, you know, and I'll be able to go faster. I know people say I'm too fast already, but I'll be able to go faster. Do robot hands action.
Hell yeah. Hey, man. Prison football and revolution. I could break revolution for the rest of my life.
Yeah. That's right. Revolution's coming out next week. Yep. But speaking of basketball, we got Donruss today. A lot of chatter about Donruss. Obviously, the box price really surprised folks out there. Coming out at $1,200 per hobby box on some of the major online retailers. I think other online retailers are still hovering around $1,000. And it was quite a jump. And, you know, you've got people saying, there's no Zion, there's no Ja this year. What do you think justifies this price for Donruss?
I think when we saw Donruss really take off, obviously with the Zion and Jair, and it's particularly the Marvel insert. Now, I know we're gonna talk about it in a bit, the Marvel insert, but the Marvel insert, obviously the next day autos have always been a huge thing. Doesn't look like they're in the product this year, probably because of COVID and pandemic. So we were not able to. They were probably not able to get those autographs
that we
right
know
away.
Of. I don't know. I haven't looked at the checklist. Maybe there's some redemptions for some of them. Or
yeah, that's true. There might be redemptions, but yeah, it is. It's a pretty massive jump. Big jump actually from last year's Donruss. And I get it. Donruss blew up, like I said, because of the Marvels insert, because of the next day autographs. It was hard to find 1920 Donruss anywhere in the middle of last year when it really started taking off. Like you really couldn't find it anymore. So
I have a theory, and I wanted to ask you your opinion on this. I felt like, you know, we went through Donruss. It was, you know, last year's Donruss, and obviously it was, you know, we didn't get much, but we did it. But it wasn't, like, a lot of hype at that time. It was kind of pre-COVID, I would say, kind of beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think we got it in November, didn't we, of 2019?
Yeah, so it was, you know, no COVID on the horizon or anything like that. And I think we went through it, and a lot of the other breakers went through it. And am I wrong in thinking that people kind of that got into the hobby during COVID started seeing blasters of it, and maybe it was hard to hit the marbles in the blaster? You know what I mean? It's easy to hit the marbles in the hobby, but is it a lot harder to hit it in a blaster to the point where they became more sought after?
I think that probably has a part to play in it. I think the main reason I believe the Marvels took off was because everything was trending towards kind of like comic book designs, right? Like you had Gary Vee talking about it too at early last year or middle of last year, where he's like, you know, these comic design cards, like he felt like they were gonna take, you know, people hear that and they're like, oh yeah, like what do we have in cards,
right,
that look like them? The Marvel insert, you know, that's straight from Marvel, so.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I mean, I opened it today. See, the difference was last year, like I said, we weren't even thinking about them. So
we weren't thinking about them at all.
I wasn't taking a mental note of how many I pulled per box, nope. any of that. Now, obviously, it's a topic, and I'm thinking about it as I'm breaking, and there's dang near one per pack. So I'm like, I mean, for one, I'm like, do I even top load these? I mean, because at first I was like, oh, LeBron James, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, there's like five LeBron James, like five of everybody that are Marvels.
Well,
and doesn't appear to be any rookies, all, you know, legends and all-stars.
Second year guys.
Second year is an all-star, you know, Doncic and LeBron and Curry and stuff like that. So now I'm like, I'm really lost on the whole hype behind it if there's that many of them. So there's a couple different scenarios here. Either they just didn't make a lot of hobby, which we got severely cut, so maybe that's the case. Maybe there really isn't that many out there. It's just the hobby is that loaded that there's one per pack. Maybe if you go retail, it's going to be really hard to pull one. So maybe that's the justification of the box, of it being that expensive. But we'll see. Only time will tell that if the Marvels are like $200 a piece, then – yeah, the boxes are actually going to go up as opposed to not being worth it. So it's something to follow, definitely. Crunch time as well, about one per box as well. Probably at Artist Proof, Marvel was like one every other box, I'd say. So we'll have to see how those end on eBay for like Curry, Doncic, LeBron, some of these bigger names. So
yeah.
Don't think it was in blasters, Ron says. Thought it was all hobby only. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, the base cards will always do very well of the rookies, and you have the chance at getting the numbered ones all the way down to the 101s to the golds. I did pull a gold auto of a rookie, not a big one, but Pistons rookie I pulled. Killian Hayes. Pulled a gold of his. So you got those chances, and I mean, the base cards are iconic, so people are going to be grading those. And, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. We got Revolution around the corner, too. So these are kind of going to be competing because you could get two boxes of Revolution basketball. Almost three for the price of one Donruss. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, you're getting a lot less rookies in a box of Revolution. I think you get four. I think what I read correctly, you get four rookies in a box of Revolution. I think you get one per pack, and then there's a pack that has an insert, I think. So that'll be interesting. That's your favorite product. Tell us about Revolution. Why should people collect Revolution basketball?
People should collect Revolution because it started off as a throwback product, right? It's when it was first released in 2015-16, back then, you know, in the hobby for us, or people that have been in the hobby since 2015-16, 2014, you know, people really wanted their hits. They wanted their autographs. They wanted their jersey cards. You know what I mean? They wanted their relics. And if a product didn't have that, it was kind of like nobody really cared for it. So Panini kind of went the opposite way with Revolution Basketball and said, let's see how this turns out. Let's put out a product that has, in a case, you know, two or three autographs at the most.
Yeah,
and make the product about base cards.
It was a bold move at the time when we were all about hits.
Very bold, and it, you know, like for you guys, you know, it resonated with me when it was released, because I was like, damn. First of all, I love the design. That was one thing. Like, I actually liked looking at the cards itself. I thought the design was super cool. And then two, I was like, I like the idea of, like, it took me back to, you know, when I was a kid, where like I didn't get autographs or jersey cards. I only got base cards.
Right.
So for me, it super resonated and it stuck with me. And I tell people, you know, like I said, like on last week's show, like there's probably nobody else that has opened up more Revolution than me since the release of that product in 2015.
We definitely would like to challenge that. See if there's anybody that has broke more. Put it in the comments. Be like, hey, this guy, I think he broke more than C-Rad. And we'll see. We'll see the tail of the tape. We'll see if it matches up. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's happened before.
No, nope, I don't think so. Maybe somebody who's been opening up a ton, like, in the last year or two because of how popular everything is. You know what I mean? Like, I know that trying to find 15-16 even early last year was damn near impossible because it just all but dried up, and mm-hmm. everybody that had some is like either holding it or it's like I think there's very little 15-16 that's actually out there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and that's coming out at around $450 for a hobby box of Revolution, which is insane. Revolution, I think first year it was like $70. I think last year it might have been $200 out the gate. So demand is real. There's just not enough supply to meet the demand, and that's what's causing this stuff to go up.
Yeah.
And we've had conversations on the chat. I know you guys are like, you know, a lot of these guys have been breaking with us for 5 years, 6 years, even a couple years. They're like, I can't afford this stuff, you know? And we understand that, but there's a, you know, flip side to that is that the singles will sell for a lot less. I mean, so if your Revolution box go down to $70, that means your rookie cards are going to be worth the appropriate pricing as well. So it's, you know, and I want the boxes to go down because I want breaks to be more affordable for everybody, you know? We have to, like, we're dang near doing a Donruss. We're doing two boxes of Donruss today, random teams, just so it's affordable for folks. It's under $100 that way because the pricing of Donruss is insane. So, you know, hopefully there could be some kind of meet-in-the-middle scenario where singles still sell well and box prices are a little bit lower. But, you know, it's just like the housing market. When it's hot, houses are going to sell for a lot more because there's less supply.
Less inventory. Yep.
Less inventory than there is demand on the product. So, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, even with this NBA Top Shot stuff going down, it's still people buying cards, still more demand than there is supply. So interesting to see. Speaking of demand, there's no demand or there's very little supply on this one of one Luka Doncic that sold over the weekend. I'm sure you heard of it. I mean, it's been blasted on CBS. Busta, one of our good friends in the chat, said his dad, that doesn't even know anything about cards, was talking about a $4.5 million card. It breaks the modern record, which was it sold for $4.6 million. It becomes the most expensive NBA card in history. Here's a little view of the card if you're not familiar with it. It's got the logo man, player-worn logo man, and then signed on card, and then it's a one-of-one. And it was actually pulled by our friend Rich from Layden Sports Cards back in May of 2019. So props to that. I want to talk about this because this is insane. This is insane that a player that's been in the league for 2 years sells for $4.6 million. I was trying to justify it. I was trying to think if I had that kind of money to spend, would I buy that? I mean, there's a whole list of other things I'd probably buy before I bought something like that. There's also a whole lot of other players I probably would buy before I would buy Luka. I get it. Luka's phenomenal. A lot of people in his camp, a lot of people on his side to be the GOAT. A lot of people are hoping that he is the GOAT. I mean, he's flashy. He hits game-winning shots. C-Rad, I mean, what do you think about $4.6 million for a player that's played for 2 years?
Incredible. I've been in the camp from the beginning, bro. Go watch Mojo episode 77. I've been on the Luka train forever, and always believed that he's gonna be one of the best players in the NBA, and he already is at his second year, in the third year in the league now. So it makes sense to me. Let's think about it this way. If, for example, Michael Jordan, right, his rookie year. If somebody was able to go back in time, like his Jordan's like third year, second or third year, you know, obviously you knew he was going to be a great player, a really good player. Maybe you didn't know if he was going to win all the championships he did and MVPs that he did, but you know he could score, he could do everything on the court. If you were able to go back and like they only had the 86 rookie card, right? What if there was a one of one version of that card? You know what I mean?
I get your comparison, but it's not fair because we've seen the career. I would say this is like saying and buying Derrick Rose 2 years into his career. Because Derrick Rose was like MVP, the next best thing. It was 08-09 or whatever season. You know, he was amazing, right? So, I mean, I'm looking at it the opposite way you're looking at it. And that's kind of where we need to meet in the middle of this conversation. Yeah. But that's so risky. I mean, he hasn't won anything yet. I think they won a playoff series last year, right? He hit that game-winning shot, and I mean, yes, he looks phenomenal. But it's such a big risk.
I think it's scaled, right? Because like when I was talking, my example, for example, the Luka is a 1-of-1 logo man auto. It's the best card you can buy of Luka Doncic ever. Period. No question. Like, right. There's no other better card you can buy of his, right? It's scaled because the LeBron James was just sold for $2 or $3 million.
Yeah.
That was out of 23.
Right, there's 22.
That wasn't even a 1-of-1.
Right.
And we've seen LeBron's career, and obviously we know LeBron is cemented as one of the best of all time, if not the best of all time. So it's, you know, imagine if that was a LeBron 1-of-1 logo man. And I get your argument. Like, we haven't seen Luka's career. We're only like 3 years in. But with the way the market is, like he's already up there. He can compete with the best in the NBA already at his 21 years of age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we haven't got a lot of data from him because he's only been playing for 3 years. But what we've seen is I feel like it's substantial already in what he's done in his career. So.
Yeah, I don't just and some intel in the chat. Allegedly, the person that hit it that night, which was in 2018, around the time the product was released, I guess sold it for $100K around that same night. Which I don't know. I mean, if I rewind time and I bought into a break, let's just say I don't know. The spot was probably under a 2,000, right? Maybe a 1,000,
1,500,
maybe, I don't know. And somebody offered you $100,000 on the spot. Be hard to turn down. I mean, yeah. You'd have to have a crystal ball to say that this card is going to be worth $4.6 million. And to your point, the Giannis sold for less, right?
Yeah.
So then Giannis should be the guy that bought the Giannis and we laughed about that he spent too much money. He looks like he got a bargain at this point, right? I mean, if you take Giannis's body of work compared to Doncic body of work, then you got to think that Giannis would be the better investment, right?
I when you look at their body of work, like obviously Giannis has been playing since 2013. They're essentially at the same point in their career, and what I mean is that they both haven't won a championship. They both, you know, Giannis has won a couple MVPs, so I guess Luka needs to do that. But yeah, so that Giannis is, you could look at it like it is like a little bit better value because Giannis has won the MVPs, but they, you know, they both still have a lot to prove in their careers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they do. And somebody was asking in the chat if the Luka Doncic sale was finalized. It was a private sale. There was a check and an invoice that the picture was taken of. The two guys involved have very big cards. Seem like they have a lot of money. So at all point, I mean, like there literally was a personal check with the picture taken of it, a bill of sale. So
that guy flipped it from 100K to 4.6.
I don't know if it's changed hands before then, but
take that, Vegas Dave.
Yeah,
take that, son.
I know. Where you hurt? At, Vegas? Where you at, Vegas Dave?
That sting, don't it, boy?
Yeah, no, the 101 Trout no more is not in the lead. That's not the best flip. And then, but I'm just like kind of thinking about it because I'm like, man, I would rather buy a bunch of Jordans. I'd rather buy a bunch of LeBrons. I'd rather buy, I mean, on the safer side of investments. But I'm thinking, you know, a lot of things are going on in this world right now where maybe this person has a lot of capital gains in life, you know, and this is just my thought process. I don't know for sure. I don't know who this guy is. But maybe he needed to just spend that kind of money because he would have got taxed on it, right? So you got to think about that, too. Some of us that I don't have $4 million. I don't have anywhere close to $4 million. Some guy may have made so much money on the stock market, let's just say, and he cashed out like, I don't know, $150, $200 million. He's going to get taxed on that. So if he buys a $4.5 million card, then he doesn't have to pay taxes on $4.5 million, so to speak, until he sells the card.
Right.
So, I mean, there could be that going on, too. Once again, I thought about that. I was like, I'd probably rather buy a house. I'd probably rather buy a couple houses, you know, like maybe invest a little bit in other places. But
I think about it from this person, like you're saying, I think about it from the perspective of the person that has the money to buy this type of card. Obviously, you're a little bit of a gambler if you're buying the Luka instead of something like a high-end LeBron or Jordan,
right,
or Brady. So you are a little bit of a gambler in that sense. But yeah, like you were saying, it's somebody with, you know, a lot of money. It could be a tax write-off. You don't know. It could just like be a drop in the bucket for him. He just wanted to own something that he felt like nobody else has, obviously, and that, you know, in a player that has so much potential.
Yeah, or I was thinking, what about this? You know, you compare it to like hunting deers where it's like, I got the biggest deer. So is there a guy that's, you know, or oh yeah, I'll show you 4.5. I'm about to buy a $5 million card. And then you got the next. Maybe we may get to the point where every week we're like, oh, there's just another one. We're not even paying attention to this anymore. There's so many of these.
Yep.
You know, it's like,
yep.
Jason Dominguez, Super Fractor, $6 million. I mean, I'm just throwing out numbers, but you know, when you get to that, I mean, you get to that yacht level elite type of person, it may be like, you think you're in the lead, you know? Yeah. It may be like we might start having guys just overpay for cards just to be like – and they're publicizing – yeah, just they're publicizing this stuff so much now, you know, that it could be like, oh, I get to make it on the news.
It's
maybe
just,
I could get
just
you
for clout, bro.
Right, just the flex on cards like that. I mean – so
that's very possible too. It's just rich guys just trying to stunt on each other, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So I mean, 4.6 million. I mean, that's literally insane.
Oh man, beautiful card. Congratulations.
You know, but I don't like.
You don't like the horizontal.
No,
I
don't.
I like
the vertical. I just. My cards need to be vertical. I just look at them that way. They need to be vertical.
For me, Logan Man's like I you know, either way is fine for me. But I get like the people who only like the vertical Logan Man's because it just looks because it's a vertical patch, right? So
I just like vertical cards. Like I have like 15 Tatis and they're horizontal. I just hate looking at it. Like you got the PSA slab, it just doesn't match up. I mean, like
you know, I do. It's interesting because Panini. They like to always switch it up on us, like with football, national treasures, and basketball, national. They always switch it up. Mm-hmm. Like, they never stick to horizontal, vertical. They, like, switch it every single year. So, it's like, it's always like a, hopefully Wiseman this year is a vertical, huh?
I know, seriously. And then, yeah, there's also the point, and I don't, it's funny how this got brushed under the rug, because we talked about it when we first had intel about it. And once again, nothing's ever been proven, but if you look at early Luka Doncic autos, and you look at stuff that you've seen him sign in person, whether there's a video of it, it's a very less loopy, less, I guess, feminine is the word. It's a more masculine-looking L. Then all of a sudden, midway through that season, because we see a lot of his autographs, we open a lot of his products, all of a sudden, it was the Lulu. And then there was even Optic, remember? Optic had both. It was almost like there was a double signing thing going on. A lot of alleged stuff. I don't want to get myself into trouble, but people are thinking that maybe his mother signed some of these cards, and that would be the mother version of the signature compared to the more masculine version of Luka's cards. But he's almost like he can't do wrong in the hobby. Like, people don't want to, like, no, it's not real. No, can't happen. Oh, are you sure? No. He just changes auto up, but... Do a quick Google search of Luka Doncic signatures, and you'll see, especially the Flawless Collegiate was for sure signed by him. You could tell. And some of the early Upper Deck stuff was absolutely signed by him. And then you go into some of the halfway through the Panini releases, and it's a Lulu signature.
I'll also add a little bit tidbit, because for those that were with us around the 2018 season, I pulled more Lukas than everybody else. I'm going to say that too. So I've seen that Luka auto a bazillion trillion times. So one thing to note too, that season, usually with big superstars, like halfway through the season, you'll start seeing redemptions of them, at least in some products, because they just don't have time to sign as much. You know, they're in the thick of their career.
Yep.
And I'm saying this from experience because, you know, I've been opening our product since 2014, and I see it every year with the top guys. At least one or two of them always. He signed everything, bro.
I know he didn't. He was.
He
not,
signed everything except until Contenders Optic, which was like 10 months later.
Yeah, that's right. He was.
Bro, he signed everything. He was in every product. Just think about that. Yeah. He signed everything.
And there's definitely different versions of his autograph, so. I don't know. I hope it. I, you know what I'm saying? I'm just.
I don't, but
you the, be the judge. But I just hope for that guy's sake that if he bought a $4.6 million card and it was signed by somebody other than Luka, that sucks. And the fact that the Logo Man is not game. It's not a game worn Logo Man either.
Yeah.
So there literally was nothing on that card that might have been touched by Luka Doncic.
You know what's crazy? Like, we're talking about that, but at the end of the day, Luka wins his 6 championships. He wins the 6 MVPs or whatever. That card goes to like 100 million or whatever.
It doesn't matter who
signed it. It won't matter.
I could have signed it.
Yeah, it won't matter at that point.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah.
But it is something to think about if you're buying a Luka autograph.
Yeah, definitely something to think about. But yeah, we'll get into the next subject, which actually Steven was asking a question about this. But the collecting community is outraged at the PSA price increase. Which happened on Monday, and they just sold their company not too long ago as well. So the new ownership not making any friends in the hobby, but they needed to do something, and I'll tell you why they needed to do this, in my opinion. But
I haven't heard of this. What was the increase?
Under an ongoing crush of submission and watching secondary market for its cards explode, PSA raises prices for trading cards, grading, and authentication. Many of the new pricing levels represent 100% increased in costs to collectors and dealers. Collectors Club value services, which account for much of the company's huge backlog of submission, will now cost a minimum of $20 per card as opposed to $10 under the previous rates. Card produced from 2018 and up will now cost $25. PSA did lower the minimum order requirements from 20 cards to 10 and raised the declare threshold from $199 to $499. It's those newer cards arriving at the company's office in massive amounts each day that are overwhelming PSA's work staff, which has increased by 167 in work staff. Wow, 167 people in the last 2.5 months.
That's some detail we never knew about.
Yeah, according to President Steve Sloan. The increased submission cost is expected to temper the flood of orders and allow graders to chip away at the backlog. So you can kind of see here in the next slide, the value is it is $20 per card, but a 10-card minimum. The economy is $50 per card. The regular is $100 per card. The express is $150 per card. Super express is $300 per card, and walkthrough is $600. So PSA, the economy service, which will be suspended indefinitely, will go up from $20 to $50. Express, so yeah, the economy is suspended indefinitely, which no longer has a guaranteed 15 rate. See its jump rate for 150 to 75. Those sending in cards with maximum value of $9,999 will have to pay $100 for a regular service for blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it sucks.
It's a big
price hike. Long-term, it sucks. But long-term, I like that, you know what, we were having too many $10 cards were being sent in that were $100 after their PSA 10. It was flooding the market. Right, you were taking the Ronald Acuñas that were selling for $10, and now they're PSA $10. They're selling for $100, $150, $200. Great for the people that graded them, but long term, the population report is huge. So now we got to think: do we want to send in these $5 or $10 cards? They have to do something to get rid of their backlog. Not on the side of PSA. Once again, price increase like that is crazy. But at some point, enough is enough. They need to figure out, and they need to get whole where they're back to waiting a certain period of time. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you, but damn, that's a big increase. Yeah. I saw like the Express, that one used to be 75, right? So yeah, like everything's 100% more, so 150 now. Damn.
Yeah.
Like I don't send a lot of cards for grading, and people who break with us know that. I say it all the time on the stream. Like I always intend to send cards in, but I never do. Look like I'm not gonna be sending anything in anytime soon either. So,
yeah.
But it definitely sucks for people who love to send in like you know their low dollar cards. You know, try to get a good grade and be able to flip it and make some money. But yeah. They got to catch up to that huge backlog, and if anything, this may, you know, have people try out these other companies too. Which, in the end, who knows? Competition is a good thing. You know
yeah,
I mean?
HGA jumped right on it in a dirty, sleazy way. They're like, we'll never raise prices at the moment. We just want to, you know, blah 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, it's easy for you guys to say. You guys started like 4 weeks ago or whatever it was. But yeah, they didn't hesitate to put out a Facebook post. And yes, the same investment group that bought PSA also bought Golden Auctions. Don't have a slide for this, but there was an interesting tidbit of information as Ken Golden, the owner of Golden Auctions, who sold part of his company for $40 million, was doing a break of Pokemon with Logan Paul. And I guess I don't know, maybe one of the first or second packs, I think a Charizard came out, and he was all, if that's not a PSA 10, I will talk to my friends at PSA. So I think that... I haven't watched the video, so I don't know if that's word for word, but that's what I heard. So that raised some questions about, like, who does he know at PSA? Like, why does he have control over it? How can he make a PSA 10? So, yeah.
You can't say those things, man, even if you got that pull.
Yeah, you can't influence any grades. We want to hopefully think that this whole thing is transparent. The whole grading process is transparent. So backlog, Steven said backlog was great before they sold. Guaranteed income if there is a big backlog. Yeah. Here's some of the comments you can see on social media.
See what you were saying.
I would hope once you're somewhat caught up with the backlog, you consider bringing the prices back to a more reasonable level. I know that's asking a lot, but you just lost an insane amount of collectors. I would fire whoever's in charge over logistics over there. The answer to the supply and demand problem wasn't to raise prices. Should be opening up more offices and hiring more people. Big time hit to small time submitters going to be $12 to $20 on value subs. Huge. Damn, PSA in June. Just in June, it was $20 per card. And then in October, it was $50 a card. And now it's $100. Y'all reaching. So, yep. I mean, definitely, you know, not... people are not big fans of it. Anytime anything raises, people aren't big fans of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if they're ever going to do it, they can do it. I mean, they have such a stranglehold on the market. All their cards sell for the most. So maybe they don't want to deal with the $50, $60 cards. The cards that are anywhere from $10 to $100, they don't want to deal with those much anymore. They want to deal with, like, the big money cards, and they want to give priority to those. I don't know. I don't know what the philosophy is. But this was this was what they decided to do to prevent the backlog. Yeah. I don't know.
Damn. So, yeah, it's tough.
I mean, I guess if you put that in comparison, like, if we couldn't handle the demand of breaks, would we triple the cost of breaks? We probably wouldn't have any customers, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. They're like the standard, right? So we'll see. We'll see how much goes back to HGA, how much goes to BGS.
Didn't BGS up their prices recently?
They upped their prices too, but they didn't do as much of a drastic move as this. Yeah.
Increase, yeah.
So
interesting.
Yeah, they're private now. They don't care anymore. I mean, that's something to watch out for too, is they were public before, so they had to... They had to abide by their shareholders. They had to abide by their shareholders' meetings. They basically forced those people to cash out. Well, I don't know. Then if that's what they're going to do, then this company is going to get run into the ground if they're not listening to the collectors. I mean, even Panini listens. Panini Tops, all these guys, they listen to the collectors. They figure out what collectors want. So I don't know. We'll see. All right. Well, let's talk about some Top Shot. Man, Top Shot really – I mean – they're a couple months ago, we didn't even talk about Top Shot. Now they're announcing the All-Star Rising Stars lineup, and they're going to have packs to go along with it.
It's going
to
be hot.
Yeah, they went from like nothing to like part of the NBA all of a sudden. It's crazy. So
Full integration.
In lieu of the Rising Stars game, we at NBA Top Shot, along with the NBA and National Basketball Players Association, have handpicked 20 individual moments from the 2021 season to highlight each of the players chosen to the U.S. team and the world team. These moments, immortalized as digital collectibles on the blockchain, will be available unprecedented at NBA Top Shot this weekend. Add your favorites to the collection when packs drop on March 7th or shortly thereafter on a peer-to-peer marketplace. Get in. You'll be like 500,000 in line. There'll be 10,000 packs. So you're saying there's a chance.
Small one.
But looking at this roster, you got the U.S. team roster of LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Halliburton, Hero, DeAndre Hunter, Keldon Johnson, John Morant, Michael Porter, Zion, and James Wiseman. World team roster of Achiuwa, Alexander Walker, Denny Avdija, R.J. Barrett, Facunda Campaza.
Damn, I thought you was about to cuss right there. I didn't know that was his name.
Facunda. I probably butchered it. Brandon Clark on there. Lugens Dort, Rui Hachimura, Theo Maludon, and Michael Mulder. Michael Mulder from the Dubs made it. They're going to have these 20 moments of these guys. Any guys on the U.S. roster that, you know, obviously Zion and LaMelo is all priced pretty high, but any of these guys you think are pretty... You know, pretty good price to get their cards, like a DeAndre Hunter or Keldon Johnson.
For their Top Shot card?
Well, just in general to invest in.
Wiseman, Halliburton. I think Halliburton I've been saying it like the past few weeks. I think Halliburton, by the time like Prism National Treasures comes out, he's going to be one of the most sought after rookies. He looks, King's got a good one.
It's been a while.
Yeah. They haven't necessarily been striking out. They looked pretty bad when they took Bagley over Luka, and that's gonna live with them forever probably.
Yeah.
But you know, like they've been picking up some good draft. But Halliburton looked like he was a steal at the 12th pick. So, yeah, Halliburton, Wiseman, of course, I'm always gonna pick him. But it's a shame. Like I'm looking at this. We were kind of talking about it before too. It's like this is exciting for Top Shot and for people that are into Top Shot. But this would have been a fun game to watch too, like actually in person.
Yeah, they won't be having the game.
Yeah, they're not actually going to be doing the game itself. So I guess this is the second. It's kind of the, you know, we get this instead, which is nice, especially for people that are really into the Top Shot right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at guys like maybe like Keldon Johnson on here, or DeAndre Hunter, who's, you know, the Hawks are obviously, he's overshadowed by Trae Young and some.
I mean,
of that.
If you open a pack and you get any of those USA guys, you can't go wrong, bro. Now the world side, there might be some guys that are less desirable that may not, you know, pan out or whatever.
Like Michael Mulder, for the Warriors.
Like, we love him, but you know, like his demand and price, like, it's probably not going to go up much.
And I mean, what Cam Reddish was Cam Reddish a lottery pick?
He was.
Mm-hmm. So DeAndre Hunter getting in there instead of Cam Reddish. So
that is interesting. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talent on the Hawks.
A lot.
And who they have this year? Who's their guy that they got this
Onyeka.
Year?
Onyeka.
Okay.
Okongwu.
So out of those three guys, one of them's got to be a pretty solid investment between Cam, Onyeka, and DeAndre Hunter made the roster.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting because. From what I understand, I think collectors are leaning more towards Cam Reddish as a prospect to like pick up, but you know, obviously all of the young Hawk players have been playing decently this year. I think they just fired their coach, right? But yeah,
because I always look at as a collector myself and somebody to invest in. I always look at these like who's undervalued here, and you know, obviously we look at Zion and LaMelo. I mean, those prices are already pretty high. Ja Morant, pretty high.
Yeah,
Michael Porter's climbed up. He's pretty high. Which is, I guess they considered Michael Porter because he only played last year, right? But he's a Luka rookie year card.
Mm-hmm.
So those boxes are unobtainable. But I'm looking at, you know, maybe Keldon or DeAndre Hunter might be the next guys that are pretty affordable to get into.
Yep.
And the Spurs, you know, he's playing with Pop. I mean, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think in the chat? What do you think as far as Rombos and LaMelo? You know, he's already pretty high, but you know, maybe has still some room to grow. He looked pretty good the other day against the Dubs. Who else did they play? I watched a condensed game against him against Lillard, and he was actually out there balling, man. So
it was old Melo versus young Melo.
Yep. Oh yeah, they had the old Melo hitting the threes, double zero.
Because Carmelo was balling that game too.
Yeah, he was hitting the threes.
But so that was fun. But
yeah, and maybe he is the better ball. Maybe it's time for me to give it up that Lonzo
won't be a top five point guard in 5 years.
Well, I won't give that, but maybe he won't be as good as his brother LaMelo. LaMelo's the better ball, the stronger ball out there. Plays ball better than the other ball. So, but we're just getting to the beginning of the season, man. We'll see. We got Prism. We got
Prism's going to be the end all, be all release. I feel like that's probably what like 99% of people waiting for.
Yep. Yeah, and we're
where you at with Top Shot right now? Are you still looking at try to get packs of Top Shot, or are you just
no.
You know, like I did want to talk about Top Shot a little bit because last week, you know, we talked about it and there was a comment that said we were kind of like, you know, we should have.
Oh yeah,
you remember?
Yeah.
You remember? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, you know, we're not saying that this is not that Top Shot can't be a big thing. You know, like if you're into it, if you're like we didn't talk about the NFT part of it. Which is something like you just told me about this past week too. It's like we were if you're into it, great, dude. Like it's just we just wanted to kind of like put some. I'm sure like a lot of people have doubts about what's going on about it.
We got to report both sides of it.
Yeah.
So. And I think somebody said we're worried about it taking money from breaks. No. I mean, just like I don't know if you guys seen the movie Basketball. I made all my money in college, just like Shaq did. So I'm really not. Worried about Top Shot, so
yeah.
You know, and it's two different things, really. I mean, there's collectors. That's why most of the collectors in our chat are like, "Why am I buying a GIF?" You know, like why can't I just go on YouTube and watch it? Yeah, yes, you can. But that's not what it is. So it's two different types. Yes, it's a collectible, and the pack opening experience might be similar to the hobby, but it's two completely different animals. So
yeah. If you're into one or the other more than the other, great. Like there's nothing. You know, like there's people that strongly believe that this is something that could take off and be big, which is great. You know, if you believe in that, like there's nothing wrong with that. And me researching it more a little on my own too. Like I'm starting to understand it more. Like I didn't really understand the NFT aspect of it, but I was looking into some like artwork and stuff like that, where you can buy digital pieces of artwork, and that part makes sense to me because I was like, art is so subjective. Like, you can like one thing that somebody else may not like. You value it more than that person. So if I see something that I like, I keep it in like a kind of like a digital, keep it as like a digital currency. That's, and you get something that you can actually look at. That's, it's a cool idea. I get it.
A lot of people asking where Dan is. Dan just took this show off. He'll be back next show, hopefully. So, yeah, he's still alive, and he still works for Mojo Break. So he'll be here next week. So, yeah, you don't have Kombucha or Windex Boy for this show, but he'll be glad to know that some of you guys missed
him. Let me peel back the curtain for you guys.
Yeah. But back on the NFTs, I was actually thinking about it. You may see this happen in the music industry if you think about it, right? If artists,
that's an idea.
Yeah.
That's an idea.
I probably shouldn't put this out there, but I'm sure there's already people thinking about it. But like, say you're like a big artist or a semi-big artist, and you're like, you know what? The album is going to release in 2 months. But a month before, you're putting every song out there via NFT.
Or even snippets, bro.
Right. And it's serial numbered, right? So that you're getting these guys that are buying, like, say it's Taylor Swift or Metallica. You're getting the Metallica. You're getting the one of 9,000 or the one of 10,000 of each song, right? And then that trades, and then the artist is able to make money off of each trade, just like Top Shot does, right? You could even take it a step further where, like, an up-and-coming band releases their first album, and then maybe you got, like, you're like the Beatles. You got the first song of the Beatles, you know what I mean? And you got an NFT, right? You got, like, the first serial numbered song of the Beatles, and you're one of the 4,000 people that have it, right? Just think about that.
I'm a music person, so I'm liking this already.
You know what I mean? And that could be a way for artists and stuff to take back some of their royalties that they're losing from like streaming and stuff like that, that they start releasing NFTs of their song. Now, I'm not saying that the person that owns that song is the only one that listens to it. They'll put it out on Spotify and iTunes later, but you're actually going to have the NFT that's on their marketplace. Right, so just think about that. Like, think about that from a music standpoint. That's why I was like, man, that's gonna be crazy, right?
And I think that's why people are excited about NFTs just in general, not just Top Shot. It's the possibilities of it, right? Just like cryptocurrency, it's like the possibility of being able to put your money somewhere, getting something in return, and like being able to hold something while, like, you know, like it keeps its value there, right?
So. Well, I mean, the first band to do it will probably be a huge success. I mean, it would have to be.
Just want to chime in here, guys. I just saw Kings of Leon is releasing their next album as an NFT.
There you go.
Boy, let's go.
See?
I'm in there.
I didn't even know that. So, yeah, I mean, and they're a fairly big band. I mean, they're probably not, like, as big as, like, Swift or anything like that. But the moment that starts happening, and these fans are crazy. I mean, I'm a crazy fan of the bands that I love. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm part of the Metallica Vinyl Club. I'm, you know, I'm buying.
Anybody who's a fan of anybody knows how far you would go to like purchase, like to get an exclusive, whatever,
and be able to listen to the song early, especially if it's like you got a solid month of like I got the NFT, like, and then you could even probably trade that up until the release day where nobody's even heard it, right? So, man, it could be literally crazy. So, but yeah, so. Enough about that because it's not sports card related, but we got.
It crosses over, you know, like we talk. It's in the vein of Top Shot because it's such a huge thing right now, and people are trying to understand it. And then some people are like, "I'm just gonna go in without understanding because I think it may be huge." You know, like there's a lot of different people coming in at the on this stuff and from different angles. So,
yeah, absolutely, and that's. You know, I don't want to say the dollar is devaluing, but you guys can do the math. We're not a political show. That's probably one of the reasons why these hobby boxes are pricing up. That's why some people are spending stupid money is because the dollar is being worth less than it has been for a long period of time. That's why people are investing in other stuff. So that explains some of the price hikes on these products as well. And I don't think it'll ever go back to where it was like 2018, 2016, 2015, 2012 prices of products. But it's a crazy world we live in. So, but we're having fun opening up cardboard. We're having fun talking about cardboard, and it's something to keep your mind off of stuff that's going on, right? I mean, it's coming to our chat. You come into you know, any of these sports card guys' chats, and we're talking about sports cards. We're not talking about the stuff that's going on outside sports cards. So, but anyways, that's all we got for today's show, guys. We've got a lot of releases on the site for group breaks, mojobreak.com for your group breaks. We've got Donruss breaking today. We've got Plates and Patches football that came out today that looks incredible. They have this, you'll see it. They have Upper Echelon On Card Auto. I just fell in love with this year for rookies. It's not even a patch auto. It's just an Upper Echelon. I just love the design. Prism EPL Soccer's hot. That just came out.
I didn't know that was a Prism product, bro.
Yep, Prism Soccer. I did 2-3 box breaks of it today. Pretty awesome. We've got Revolution around the corner.
Do some of that on the weekend.
We've got Inception Baseball that is coming out in a few weeks. We got Donruss Baseball coming out next week. So lots of fun stuff to participate. If you've never broke with us before, mojobreak.com is the website. The schedule is on the right side if you're on a computer. It's on the bottom if you're on your mobile phone. And everything's scheduled and everything's guaranteed to break. It makes it easy to find out when you want to get into something. And we're doing pre-orders now of Revolution. That's on the site, so grab your teams. If you want to break your own box, you're like, hey, breaks aren't for me. I want to break boxes, maybe with your kids. Go to mojobreakshop.com, and we'll ship boxes sealed to you. So two different websites, mojobreak.com to get into breaks and mojobreakshop.com to get your own sealed boxes. So, all right, that's it for episode 179. We'll see you next week for episode 180, and breaks will start here in about 20 minutes. We'll start with some more Donruss, so just come back in 20 minutes and see Rhett will be breaking some Donruss. Peace.